Exodus chapter 16. And I really appreciate you guys being here tonight. It's really good to have some visitors with us. Greg and Sean are here over from Jackson. Met them. Sean on Saturday out soul winning and invited them, and they came. So I really appreciate you guys being here, bringing your brothers. It's good to have some others here as well. Good to have Antonio back. I haven't seen Antonio in years. Good to have him back. Good to have Kaylee here. Hope. Glad to have Hope here. Chloe. Good to have Chloe here. I haven't seen her in a while. Destiny. We have a good crowd. So let's do this. Let me get some reading done. We're going to pray after we get a little bit into this. But from this moment on, teenager, let me just stop and say this. I love being a youth pastor. It's wicked fun, okay? And get to hang out with you guys. We do cool activities, go on cool trips, all that fun stuff. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy being a youth pastor. But can I say this? I didn't become a youth pastor just to have fun at activities and to do those. And those things are great. I love it. I became a youth pastor because I really believe that God wants me to invest in this generation, which is your generation. Those of you that are in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. When I was a teenager, I had a great youth pastor. Who knows? You know Pastor Rich upstairs. He was my youth pastor when I was your age. He was awesome. He preached to us. He brought us on great trips. And he invested in me. And he tried to help me in decisions I made. Does that mean I was perfect as a teenager? No, I was not. I made a lot of stupid decisions. Maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and you can think of some stupid decisions that you've made the past few weeks. Maybe hanging around some people that you shouldn't be hanging around. Maybe listening to something you shouldn't listen to. Maybe talking about someone on Facebook or on Snapchat, doing things you shouldn't be doing. Maybe looking at stuff on the internet you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe saying things you shouldn't say. I don't know your life. Okay, I don't know your decisions. But listen, I'm here to help you. Okay, the reason I get behind this pulpit and prepare messages and sit in my office and study the Word of God and try to share with you what God's Word says, because I want you to make good decisions. I want you to have a good life. Okay, can I say this? Some of you in here got good homes you come from. You got mom and dad at home. They've raised you right. They've brought you to church. Man, you better thank God for that. Some of you come from good homes. That's good. Some of you do not come from good homes. Some of you don't have mom and dad in the house. Some of you don't even have either one. Maybe you live with your grandparents or whatever. Some of you have faced problems in your past with abuse. I don't know all the stories, but I do know this. From the world's point of view, from everybody, maybe someone that doesn't go to church, when they look at your life, they say, man, there's not a lot of hope for that kid. I say, man, there's not a lot of hope for that young lady. They're not going to be able to do much for God, or not going to be doing much for anything because of the life they have. And listen, that's the world's viewpoint. I tell you, more than should be, there's people in this city, in this world, that would look at your lives and say, man, these guys can't really do anything. But I'll tell you, I don't think that. I look at each one of you, whether you're misbehaving or not. Listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying that. Whether you misbehave or you're talking to your neighbors or messing around, or I look at each one of you and say, you know what? God can do something with your life. I really believe that. I know that. God did something with my life, and I had a good home, but I've seen God do amazing things with people that maybe don't have the best life, don't have the best past. And I truly believe that every single one of you in this room, all of you, okay, if you make good decisions now and you get your focus in the right area now, you can do great things with your life. And I'm not just talking about going off being a missionary, being a pastor. I'm talking about you can have a successful life. You can have a good marriage. Okay, you can be good parents. Any one of you can do those things. And tonight's message kind of talks a little bit about that. We're in Exodus chapter 16. Okay? And I appreciate those who are listening right now. Keep it up. Okay, we'll be done soon, I promise. Starting verse 1. Moses, okay, he's in charge of all the children of Israel, all these thousands of people back in the Bible times. Verse 1 says this, and they had just left Egypt, okay? They were slaves in Egypt, and through the 10 plagues and a whole bunch of series of events, and God was all in it, the king of Egypt, who had all those slaves, the children of Israel, he let them go. He let them go. God protected them. So now they're not slaves anymore. They're free. Verse 1 says this, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, okay, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing, out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay, anyone want to raise your hand to what they think the word murmured means? Okay, it doesn't just mean like, I'm not talking about that. What do you think?
Complaining.
They were complaining. That's what the Bible word murmur means. They started complaining to Moses, their leader, and Aaron, who was the other guy. Verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So these people, okay, just were freed from Egypt, from being slaves. Okay, they were slaves. They were building pyramids. They were getting whipped. They were getting abused by the Egyptian people. The Israelites were. And thank God, he used Moses in the power of God, and they were free. They got out of Egypt. Now they're on their journey, and they start complaining. They start getting maybe a little hungry, and they start saying, well, Moses, why'd you take us out of Egypt? Yeah, we were slaves, but at least they fed us. And they started complaining, being little babies. They started complaining. So verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And that's exactly what it sounds like. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God told Moses, okay, the leader of the children of Israel. Okay, we follow me right now? Do you follow what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? God said, Moses, okay, the people are complaining. They're being babies. He said, you know what? I'll take care of you. He said, I'm going to literally have food fall from the sky so they can eat. That's pretty cool. Could you imagine being hungry? Like, man, I really would love a bowl of cereal, and then like a bowl of cereal to smash you in the head. That's what God said. God said, I'm going to rain food from heaven. True story. Moving on. And he also gave a little, he said, listen, I'm going to give them food to see how they treat me, see if they obey my laws after I provide for them. Okay, move on to verse 6. Skip verse 5, verse 6. So God told that to Moses and Aaron, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. Verse 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So Moses and Aaron, after God talked to them, they went out to all the children of Israel and said, hey, listen, everybody, I know you're hungry, you're being babies. They said, listen, God said that he's going to provide for you. He said, God said he's going to give you food. And then they said this, they said, but why are you complaining to us? They said, what are we? And they said, listen, when you complain to us, you're really complaining to God, because these are the children of Israel. These are God's chosen people. He said, when you complain to us, you're complaining to God. That's what they told the children of Israel. And if you think about it, it applies to us. That's not the message, but when you complain about authority in your life, mom, dad, teachers, me, I don't know if you can live with me, you really complain about God. Because the Bible says that the powers that be are of God, which means any authority that's in your life right now, whether or not you like it, is put there by God. Okay, you're teenagers right now. You're not adults yet. You're almost adults. But you're in a place in life when you live with mom and dad or a guardian or whatever, and there's authority in your life. You go to school. You have teachers. You have principals. You have a youth pastor. There's authority in your life that God has given you. And when you complain about that authority and when you disrespect that authority, you're really disrespecting God. Think about that. Next time you get mouthy with a teacher, with your mom and dad, you're disrespecting God, not just your parents, not just your teachers. You're disrespecting God, who gave you that authority. And that's what these people were doing. They complained to Moses and Aaron, and they were really complaining to God. Okay, moving on. Verse 11. Skip over to verse 11. Exodus 16, verse 11. So Moses and Aaron told all the people, hey, God's going to give you food. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even, which means at nighttime, the quails came up. Now, quails, anyone know what a quail is? It's a bird. It's a little bird that waddles around. You can eat it, okay? The quails came up and covered the camp, okay? So literally, God sent just probably thousands and thousands of quails, just birds, just came right in the camp so they could eat. So obviously, they had to kill it and eat it and whatever. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. Verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So literally, okay, first of all, the quails come at nighttime, all the little birds come and they eat all that. in the morning, you know, in the morning there's dew on the ground. It gets, you know, obviously not in the winter usually, but in spring, the summer, there's dew on the ground. Well, when the dew began to dry up in the morning in this story, there was literally little round things in the ground. They said it looked like almost like frost. And the people looked at it and they didn't know what it was. And the word manna actually means in Hebrew, what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was literally food, like bread, like a little pastry that God had put all over the ground for them to eat. Pretty nasty, right? But hey, listen, if you had nothing to eat at all, I mean nothing to eat, you're probably going to eat whatever it takes. You probably take one of those quails, Destiny, and bite the head right off because you're so hungry. But they saw all these quails and all this manna, and God provided for them. God did that. He literally gave them food from heaven. Verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So God said, listen, you got all this manna, probably spread for miles and miles. He said, take what you need. He said, take what you need for your family, gather it up, take what you need. And here's the verse we're going to focus on, okay? Verse 17, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Some gathered more and some gathered less, really depending on the family. But I want you to think of that thought, more or less. More or less. The question tonight is this. Now, focus, focus, focus. Sitting up straight, looking right up at me. We're not looking at the Bible right now. Look right up here at me. I want to ask you a question. Look up here. Come here. Okay, here's the question. Remember, we're at church so you can be helped. You can learn something about the Lord and you can make some decisions. Here's the question for tonight's message. And don't answer it, just answer it in your heart. Do you want more of God in your life or less of God in your life? Now think about that question. Do you want, personally, you, do you want more of God in your life or less of God in your life? Because the decisions that you make on a daily basis answer that question. The decisions that you make every day at school, at home, here at church, wherever, the decisions that you make, they answer that question whether you want more of God or less of God. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get this message real quick. We got about 15 minutes, and we'll be done, I promise. I have to be done in 15 minutes. We got business meeting tonight. Okay, so let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed. Now, as I pray, teenager, I want you to pray in your heart. Ask God to do something in your life. Ask God to speak to your heart tonight. Can you please do that for me? Head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. We're going to pray real quick. And as I pray, you pray too. Dear Lord, I ask you to bless this message, Lord. Please help each teen to listen. Help them to pay attention. God, I ask you to use this message. Help them to really ask themselves the question, do they want more of you in their life or less of you? Lord, please help them to listen. Please, God, I beg you to do something tonight in this service. Speak to the hearts of these teenagers, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. The question was, do you want more of God in your life or less of God in your life? Do you know that less of God in your life brings less of other things too? When you have less God in your life, you're going to have less of other things too. I hope you get the question I'm talking about. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Every one of us, okay, those who are saved, and if you're not saved tonight, listen, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you don't know where you would go if you died tonight, if you don't know if you go to heaven or hell, then we can talk about that tonight. I want you to get that figured out, because you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. But if you are sure, you know that, man, you ask Christ to save you, you know that you're a Christian, God doesn't just fill us up, and we're not just these awesome Christians and serving God just because we're saved. No, it's our decision that we make, how much God that we really include in our lives. So the question tonight is, do you want more of God or less of God? And when you have less of God, it brings less of other things. We're going to go through those things. We'll be done. Number one is this. Less God. Okay, the less God you have in your life is going to bring less joy. Anyone know what joy is? Raise your hand and tell them what joy is. What is joy? Come on. Anyone guess? Happy, yes. That's good. That's a good answer. Happiness. Listen, joy is true happiness. Okay, it's not just, you know, you're happy, or, you know, you get like a candy and then you're like, oh, I'm so pumped. No, I mean, like, it's true happiness, like in deep inside happiness. And when you have less God, it brings less joy. When you don't have God in your life, you're not going to have real joy in your life. You listen to Shea Diamond? Okay. When you have less God in your life, it's going to bring less joy. The Bible says that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And God is the source of true joy and happiness. Listen, I know that some of you have been through so much junk in your life already, you think it's impossible to even have a little bit of joy. Maybe you were abused as a kid. Maybe your parents got divorced. Maybe you get made fun of at school. I don't know what it is. But in your heart, listen, in your heart, you don't have any joy at all right now. No happiness. Maybe you put a smile on your face when you come to church, when you see me, when you're around your friends, you laugh and joke. But deep down inside your heart, you know that you have no joy at all. No real joy. And some of you probably wish you weren't even here on this earth. Some of you probably even thought, like we talked about last week, about taking your own life because there is no joy. You feel like you have no reason to live. There's no joy at all. And can I tell you, the less God you put in your life, the less God that you have in your life, the less joy you're going to have, and the less of a reason you're going to even have in your mind to want to live. Because there's no God. And the devil, when there's less God, there's obviously more of the devil influencing you and tempting you and trying to get you to do stupid things and trying to and really cause you to think some really stupid things. The reason some of you think that you have no reason to live, the reason some of you think that you're not worth anything is because you have so little God in your life that you've allowed the devil to come in there and convince you of that, to convince you that you have no reason to live, to convince you that you're not worth anything, to convince you that it's your fault for everything that's happened in your life. When really the case is that it's not your fault for something. Listen, there are some things that decisions that you make that are going to have consequences. But listen, can I tell you this? The fact that your parents are split up is not your fault, whether or not they say that it is. The reason you're not at fault for anything that's happened in your life that was out of your control. And listen, the less God you have, the less joy you're going to have. God is the only source of true happiness and joy. I promise you that. I promise you that. Don't expect to find happiness and joy without having God in your life, a big part of your life. Less God brings less joy. Number two, less God brings less peace. Peace is, we talked about peace on Sunday morning in Sunday school. Biblical peace is having a good relationship with God. And really, when troubles come in, you have peace. You're okay. You're not worried. You're not stressed. And listen, true peace can only come from God. Because when you have peace, you know what you're doing when you have peace? You're believing in your heart that God knows best. Listen, I had my pastor in Massachusetts, many of you heard the story, but when I was a teenager, my pastor had a son who was 18 years old, and he was killed in a car accident. He was driving, slid off the road, hit a tree, his neck broke in 9 places, and he died instantly. Died. 18-year-old kid, loved the Lord, was going to be a preacher, and he died. Now, most normal people, when that happened, obviously would just completely destroy them. And just it's devastating. It was devastating. But I'll tell you, that pastor and his family, although they had some very dark days, very sad, sorrowful days, there was peace. They had peace in their heart. And the reason is not because they knew why it happened, because they still don't know why God would do that. But they trusted God. They trusted that God knew best. They said, you know what? This is a terrible situation. I've lost my son. He's gone. But there's a reason that God did this. I may not know what the reason is, but God knows best. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And I'm going to trust him. And when you have God in your life, you can have that peace. And when things come into your life that stink, that you hate, problems and struggles and strife, when those things come into your life and you have God in your life, you'll say, you know what? I don't like the situation. I hate it. I don't know why it's happening to me, but God knows best. And I'm going to trust him. Less God is going to bring less peace. When we have less of God, then every time a problem comes, we don't understand, we don't like it, and we get worried and we get stressed. And so what happens? When you don't have God in your life, the problems come in, and instead of trusting God, you try to fix it yourself, you try to figure out what the problem is, and you can't figure it out, so you get worried, you get stressed. That's why some people drink, some people do drugs, because they're trying to make everything okay. They're trying to find peace. They're not going to find peace in a bottle of liquor. They're not going to find peace in drugs or anything like that. No, true peace only comes from God. When you have less God, he brings less peace. Number three, less God not only brings less joy and brings less peace, but it brings less blessings. God wants to bless you. If you're saved here tonight, you're a Christian, God wants to bless your life. He wants to give you a great life. He wants to show you what His will is for you. He wants to provide for your needs. That's what He wants to do. That's how God is. God's not just this, He's a judging God, but He's not just this judge who sits on a throne and is always damning people to hell. He's not doing that. God loves us. Listen, we are judged for the actions that we do, but God loves us. He cares about you. He wants to provide for every one of your needs. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Listen, and when you have less of God in your life, you're not focused on Him, it's going to bring less blessings. The problem is, so often, we try to just bless ourselves. Everything we want, we try to do it all on our own. And we always fail because we're not perfect, because we mess up. God doesn't fail, though. He never fails. Less God brings less blessings. What else? We're almost done. Less God brings less guidance. When you don't have God in your life at all, or you have very little, maybe the only God you have in your life is the hour that you sit in this service with me. The rest of the week, however many hours in a week, you don't even think about God. Maybe you don't even think about God when you're in here with me. But when you have so little God in your life, your decision maker, which is right up here and right in here, your heart, it's like it's broken. You're not going to make the right decision when you don't have God in your life. Because God gives us guidance. And when you don't have God in your life at all, He's not going to guide you. I talked about last week about the knock. I think I talked about it when I was, I think it was last week's service, about the knocking. And God, when you're close to God, you're going to be able to hear when He speaks to you. You're going to be able to hear when He guides you. But as the farther away you get from God, the quieter that knocking gets, to where you don't even, you're just making your own decision. You don't care about anything. Listen, less God brings less guidance. God has a plan for every one of you. Every one of you, God's got a special plan for your life. If someone's building a house, they have blueprints. They have everything marked out perfectly. Uncle Jack, you've built so much stuff. They got blueprints. They got the foundation. They have where the walls are going to be, where the rooms are going to be. Everything is perfectly mapped out on that blueprint so that everything comes together perfectly. And God's got an awesome blueprint for your life. He's got amazing plans for you. Every one of you, no matter who you are, God has a plan for you. God has things that He wants you to accomplish. He's got a plan for you. And when you're not close to God, when you're not walking with God, when you're not at church, listen, you're getting less and less of God. Hey, when you're not at church, that's a little bit less God in your life. When you're not reading your Bible, that's less God. When you're not praying, that's less God. Listen, you need more God in your life. The question was, do you want more of God in your life or less of God in your life? Less God brings less guidance. You're not going to know what to do with your life. And then you're just going to go off and do whatever, and it's not going to be the plan, that blueprint that God has for you. Last one is this. Less God brings less discretion. Discretion kind of goes along with guidance, but discretion is, here's an example of discretion. I got my Sperry's on tonight, okay? I'm walking down across the parking lot, and there is a giant mud puddle, deep, like knee deep. I don't know why there's that big of a hole in the parking lot, but there is. And I'm walking. And I see that puddle, okay? If I don't have a lot of good discretion, I'm going to just walk right through the puddle. And my ankles soak. But if I have discretion, that means making good decisions, thinking things through. I'll say, hey, you know what? There's a big puddle there. I'm going to go around it so my shoes stay dry. That's discretion. Now, that's a funny illustration. But in a spiritual way, here's an example in a spiritual way. You're at school. You're hanging out with some friends. They start talking about something they shouldn't be talking about at all. Maybe a dirty joke. Maybe you guys, it's not a dirty joke. Having discretion says, you know what? I should not be listening to this joke. And you walk away. That's having discretion. Girls, you're in the girls' bathroom at school and there's someone getting picked on, just majorly picked on. They're getting made fun of in a really mean, rude way. Having discretion, a couple different things. Having no discretion, you'd be in there making fun of her too. But having some discretion in your life, either you would make sure you're not part of it at all, or you'd step in and say, you know, leave her alone. That's having discretion, making good decisions. And when you have less God in your life, You have less discretion. You're not going to make good decisions at all. You're not going to make any decisions. Right and wrong, you won't even realize it. There will be no difference to you. Some of you are so far from God right now. You're so far from God right now. You have so little God in your life that you can do terrible things and not feel bad about it. And not even think about it, not even realize, hey, what I just said was wrong. Some of you can cuss like a sailor, you can cuss your mom out, you can cuss your teacher out, and you don't even feel bad about it. Because you're so far from God, it doesn't even affect you anymore. Some of you can listen to some of the music that's out there nowadays, just talking about the most wicked stuff, degrading to women, degrading to authority, and you can listen to it and not feel bad at all. It doesn't even affect you because you're so far from God that your right and wrong meter is broken. You don't even realize it. That's discretion. Knowing right and wrong and doing what's right. And when you have less God, it brings less direction. God's word tells us exactly what we need to do. It tells us exactly how to live our lives. Having discretion says, okay, the Bible said that, so I'm going to do it. Having no discretion says, I don't care what that book says. I want to do what I want to do. And when you have less God in your life, you have less discretion. I'm going to be done with this. The question was asked, do you want more of God or less of God? I gave you five things that you're going to have less of if you have less of God in your life. Joy, peace, discretion, guidance. And that last one was these blessings too. Listen, I want you guys to have joy. I want you guys to have peace. I want you guys to have God's blessing and his guidance. And I want you to have discretion. But I tell you this, the less God you have, you're not going to have any of those things. None of those things. We talked last week about getting closer to God. This week we're talking about having more of God in your life. Some of you need more of God in your life. You just don't have enough. Wednesday night for 1 hour is not cutting it for you spiritually. And it's not going to cut it for you spiritually at all. I promise you that. Listen, we don't have church Monday through Friday. But listen, you have a Bible. You say, well, I don't have a Bible. Well, we can get you one. You just got to come ask us. Maybe you do have a Bible. You haven't been reading it. You need more of God in your life. You haven't been praying. You need more of God in your life. You haven't been faithful to God's house. Hey, when you don't come to church, you're taking out a special day that God has set apart for you to hear from him. That's less of God in your life. The question is, do you want more of God or less of God? And don't just say, oh, I want more, and then you're not going to be here on Sunday. Or I want more, and then you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to go the whole day without even thinking about God. You don't want more of God. I read it in The Glow in the Dark. I think it was 2 days ago, if you're reading The Glow in the Dark. It says, is Jesus your role model? Everybody loves talking about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. He loves us. And in your mind, Jesus is a great Savior. He died for us. Wow, that's so great. But to you, he's not a great role model. When you have a role model, you want to be just like them. And to some of you, Jesus is a great Savior. He did amazing things. But you really don't want to be like him. You don't want to be like Jesus. You don't want to give of yourself to somebody else. You don't want to do what's right. You don't want to put God first in life. You want to do what you want to do. Listen, I read that. That convicted me. I said, man, is Jesus just my Savior? Is he my role model? Do I want to be more like Christ? And if you want to be more like Christ, you're going to have more of him in your life. Do you want more of God or less of God? Your decisions will prove that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many would say this? Pastor Donald, I do not have enough of God in my life right now. Raise your hand so I can see it. There's not enough. Not enough. Wednesday nights isn't cutting it. Okay, now put your hands down. I got to ask this question too. How many would say, okay, I do have less of God than I should, but really after hearing that message, I know that I need and I want more of God in my life. Raise your hand up so I can see it. Okay, hand all over the room. That's what I'd like to see, but listen, you know what I'd like to see even more than just a hand raise? I'd like to see a change. God wants to see a change. God just saw you raise your hand. Okay? Don't just go out these doors tonight and get right back in the same swing of things. Because really, if that's the case, then you really don't want more of God. I want you to want more of God. Hey, I want more of God in my life. It's about making decisions, guys. It's about making decisions. I'm going to pray for you right now. We'll be dismissed. Okay? You can have joy, in peace, in God's blessings, in his guidance, in discretion. But, listen, you have got to really make some good decisions. You've got to start making the right decisions. You've got to prove to God that you want more of him in your life and tell him and show him in your actions, in your devotion, reading your Bible, praying, in your faithfulness to church, and what you listen to, and how you treat authority. That shows God, God, I want more of you in my life. You can do it. You can do it. Lord, bless these teenagers. Thank you for them. I ask you to bless each one of them, those who raise your hand, Lord. Help them to have more of you in their life. Lord, we love you so much. We're so grateful for all that you've done for us. Bless these teens. Help them as they go throughout their week at school to make good decisions and to show you that they want more of you. Please, God. Please do something great in our youth group. We love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Your precious name. Amen. All right, guys.